You know, when we first started coming up here, I never got out of breath.
He was much younger then.
I was wondering about that. You know, I think it was just time to slow them down. I can't be getting any older. The general partner that brings you to Winter Hawk Bluegrass Festival, Mary Dowd, she's down here in this pretty white dress. It really takes a lot of nerve to get a nice white Sunday dress on for the Sunday gospel sing. I can tell you a lot of things I like about her, but this is one that sticks with me most, the second festival we ever had here. We'd been in business a year, and we'd only lost a little money. Things were going along as well as we expected. And first thing she said, I get up here, is, "Hi, Ron, how's Belle?" And Belle was my old quarter mare. And I really like a person that gets other species in the proper perspective. I mean, I do, you know, because if I have one real uncomfortable thing about the Christian ethic that I learned when I was a little redneck, was they kept trying to teach me that humans was a superior species. And so far, I'm still looking for a species that we're superior to what?
Well, you notice animals don't even need to have a Bible. They're fine without
it. Right. They sure don't need Robert Tilton. And
animal evangelist.
But a lot of these old song metaphors. I like it.
Dog evangelist. I can see it on TV. Ruff, 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 ha.
You know, maybe learning to beg is the first step that they take for it. But I think chasing the ball is counterproductive. First, you got to get people to air condition the ball if you're going to chase it around. These old metaphors, though, were kind of hard for a person as literal as me to understand. I had this favorite song I was singing for years, and it was one I never really could deliver. You know, you like to sing, especially like a person like me that can't really sing on pitch. The saving grace is that you can maybe mean what you're singing. And every once in a while, you'll come to one of them lyrics that you know you really mean it, but you don't really understand why. And and then these people come by one day and gave me a free horse, which, by the way, is a contradiction of terms. I was a fool. I actually believed back then that there was such a thing as a free horse. And this horse was ready to retire. He was a show horse. He had won all the medals and ribbons and everything and had a long flowing mane and a kind of a stately carriage to him. But these people come by and they want him to have a nice home to retire to, and their barn had just burnt down. The reason I know this is because Mary Jo and Charlie live right behind him now, and I think Charlie's going to build a barn where theirs was burnt down.
I don't think so.
Oh. Well, Charlie.
Horse barn. No free horses.
So they come by and they said, "Y'all can have this horse," and we was pretty excited about it. We built a stall down there in the barn and everything and let the grass grow up out in the pasture, did a little fence work, and this wasn't no done roaming here now like y'all got up here in this county, but it had some fence. And put the dam down a little bit in the pond, water flowing down through there. And the horse had one more show before ever we was going to get it. And so I thought, well, I'll go see what this horse showing business is about, you know. And it was over at the fairgrounds. And I went over, and these are real nice people. I don't think I could ever tell you how nice they are. They really are Mary Jo and Charlie's neighbors. And Charlie hadn't had to cut a lick of grass since he moved in there. And so I go over there, and here they come. The first thing I learned was I didn't know until that time you were supposed to wear a tuxedo when you rode a horse. So I'd been watching too many westerns or something, and I could see right away I was one tuxedo short for being a horseman. I could have killed two birds with one stone. I could have gone to the pheasant under glass dinner and rode a horse with one outfit.
Same outfit.
Yeah. And so I'm over there, and they got the showgrounds all fenced in and everything, and here comes the lady riding along on my horse, little fingers out like this and everything, and I'm leaning over the rail. "Hey, how you doing? Howdy there, howdy there." And I could see right now that even riding in this style was going to be a liability. Anybody had a nose as big as mine. And they're going along, and I'm yelling, hollering. And anyways, told you I'd tell you this. After this show was all over, they brought this horse over to the house. And this horse had spent his whole life doing, well, he never had got to do no horse stuff, was the long and the short of it. He'd lived in a stall and always had to do this show stuff and get dressed up and shined up and clipped up and had these little fingernails polished. That's right. He come over and stepped out of that trailer, looked off through that fence at that grass and that clear water. And I don't know if y'all was here. This is our 10th anniversary. About 5 or 6 years ago, Frank Wakefield was here. And, of course, one of the things he was selling was copies of his electrocephalogram. And this horse looked off through there, you know, and had one of them Wake Frankfield brain waves go across his head. And it kind of dawned on him what that pasture was for. And he lit out through that gate. Leapt over that creek, got up there in grass about knee high if a horse has got a knee, and got a kind of a wild look, the whites of his eyes showing everything. And of course, anybody that's ever seen a horse knows exactly what he done then. He spun around about 2 or 3 times, counted up to about 3, and got down, commenced rolling. And there he laid a rolling for a minute, and a horse had never grazed in his whole life. Maybe when he was a puppy, but throughout his life, and that grass just up over his belly and everything, and he retched over there and got him a big mouthful of grass, and there he laid, a grazing and rolling at the same time, legs just a flopping all over in there. And that's what this song's about. When you get to heaven, you can roll and eat at the same time if you want to.